We'll prepare to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. And as always, we so very, very much appreciate your faithfulness to the church here and giving of your temporal means. We couldn't exist without it. And I know God's blessing you for what you're doing to advance his kingdom. Could we go to him in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, today we come to you. And Lord, we love you, as the song says. But Father, we give this morning with hearts of gratitude, hearts of love, Lord, so that others might hear this glorious message of who you are and what you've done for the whole human race. Lord, we ask your blessing on this offering and, Lord, upon the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We're going to have Austin come and play Amazing Grace, and we're going to try to sing to it, but if it messes up, we'll just let him continue and we'll take a seat. Austin, let's try to play it four times, maybe five times total, and we'll try to sing all the verses if we can. And for those of you who know the verses, what page did you say that is, Austin? 108 in your hymnals there. If you want to sing along with us, that would be wonderful. But if you see us sit down, stop singing and let him continue to play.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first.
Let's go back to Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but was blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace. Church, give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace without which we would all be lost. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 32? Singers and musicians, thank you so much. You did a wonderful job this morning, as always. Genesis chapter 32, I'd like to begin reading at verse 24. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 24. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is that that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the divine conquest. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for once again the privilege of opening your word in an attempt to expound its glorious truths. And Father, I know that I am totally incapable without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that you would pour that precious anointing all over me, Lord. I pray today, Father, that your people would be uplifted by the preaching of your word. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus today for you to let us apply this great truth that we're going to attempt to bring forth from the word of God. Help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to see how you operate, Lord, to bring us to a place where we can fully receive your glorious grace. And Father, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. With it being the Thanksgiving holiday this past week, Ravonna and I were privileged, and it's always a joy to go back and spend it with family around Newark, Ohio. And as is the custom, if your family's like our family, there are those long nights and short days. Everybody likes to sit up and talk and reminisce. And this was on Wednesday night that I was staying at my brother-in-law Roger's house. And I'm not going to name this particular individual, because I don't think that they would mind, but I have not asked them their permission to share their testimony. Hence, I wouldn't feel right in naming a name without doing that. But we began talking about an individual that we both knew, a young lady, who had been raised in the church, gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ at a very young age. And then, like so many during those trying teen years, she began to waver in her faith. She fell into running with the wrong crowd, so to speak. She began to drink, and of course, that led to drugs, and then ultimately, sexual promiscuity. And her life began to spiral down. As sin always does to any individual, it got its grip on her. So much so that you wouldn't even recognize her from what she once looked like. Sin is so ugly. It really is. It takes It took this lovely young lady who was very attractive. I know her well. And she was just so ugly looking for so many years. It wasn't that she was an ugly person physically, but you could see the change in her countenance due to the horrific grip of sin that she had allowed her life to become involved in. And she kept making wrong choices. But she was very prideful and arrogant, as all of us humans are, that as we would talk to her every opportunity we had to try and win her back to the Lord, knowing what was deep in her soul and spirit, what had been placed there as a child, numerous family members attempted to reach out to her with the gospel, with her flagrantly refusing every attempt, even at times mocking God and mocking the gospel. It was about 2 years ago, her mother called Roger, who had started his church and was pastoring, called him for prayer and said, "She's really getting out of control, Roger, and I just don't know what to do." You know, she was a free moral agent. She was an adult. There was nothing her precious mother, who was a dear saint of God, could do to stop what was happening in her daughter's life. And she said she's living with a man right now who's wanted by the police for several different infractions. And as time went on, she got involved in something that was way above her head. This gentleman she was living with had a scheme of bilking older people out of money in construction-type schemes. And I don't know a lot about construction, but in effect, he would take the money from them and then never do the work, was the bottom line. And finally, the law enforcement caught up with him. And Darla had been, and I accidentally said her name there, but many of you don't know her. She had been keeping the books for him. And so when they arrested him, they took her with him. And at the beginning of all of the legal proceedings, she defiantly told her mother, as her mom told her, "Jesus is the only hope you have." She said, "Jesus, in essence, is not my only hope." And she said, "But I believe he may be trying to get your attention." And what I'm about to say, when I heard her utter the words, it sent chills through my spine. It was nearly over 2 years ago. She said, "I'm not afraid of God. And if he thinks he's going to get my attention by sending me to jail, he's got another thing coming." Do you see the pride in that and the arrogance? And really, we're all like that before we come to know the Lord. But the proceedings went on. And much to her shock and everyone's shock, because to this day, it is my personal belief that she was merely keeping the books, that she had no wrongdoing. But because she kept the books, it was a small local court. And to her shock, they found her guilty of, I forget what the exact charge was, but in effect, she was found guilty. And they sentenced her to the Women's Reformatory in Mansfield for 18 months. And she was broken. She didn't know what to do. We wrote her while she was in prison, attempted to visit her several times, but due to certain restrictions, couldn't get in to see her. But Roger was able to get in one or two times. And he took her a copy of Brother Swaggart's Bible. And his second visit there, she'd been in there about 3 months by this time, I believe. Roger related to me that she told him, "I can't take this no more." She described the horrific conditions of prison life, which are so ugly, I won't take the time to go into them here. But she said, "Roger, I've never faced nothing like this before." And she said, "I realize now that if God don't help me, I'm not going to make it through this." And then she threw herself at the feet of the world's Redeemer that day and prayed with Roger and received Jesus as her Savior. And she was only in prison about 6 more months before miraculously, they gave her an early release. And I was privileged to talk to her, not this last time, but the time a few months back when we preached a revival for Roger. She'd come to church, and you saw the glow of the Lord on her face. You saw how God had transformed that prideful, arrogant spirit and replaced it with a beautiful spirit of grace. And she told me, she said, "I'm so thankful to Jesus for what he's done for me." And I chatted with her then. I said, "Could I tell other people, you know, in general?" I said, "Could I share your testimony?" She said, "Absolutely." She said, "Greg," she said, "I'm not ashamed of what happened to me, because I know now, had God not allowed me to go to that prison, I probably would have never been right with Jesus. I could have died eternally lost." That's an amazing thing, to be cognizant of that fact, that you had to be broken first before God could give you all that he wanted to give you. And it's really that way with all of humanity, because we're born so prideful and arrogant. And God has to break us before he can bless us. Before we can experience amazing grace. Before we can be partakers fully and be fully aware of how great God's grace is. Many times we first have to experience agonizing grief before amazing grace comes. In the story that we have in the Bible this morning of Jacob, he was a man who all of his life had gotten by scheming and deceiving. And it had worked very, very well for him. And in fact, that's what his name meant in Hebrew, Jacob. It means schemer, deceiver. But when God loves an individual, and God loves all of humanity, and he had a big call on Jacob's life, that person has to be broken to the point they realize, "I'm nothing. He's everything." And God will use situations to bring us to that point of brokenness, to where whatever we've been trusting in to get by, whatever we've been looking to achieve what we want to achieve in this life, God's got to knock it out from under us. So it would be in the life of Jacob. After so many years of scheming and deceiving, he's now placed in a situation where his brother Esau, whom he had stolen the birthright from, was coming after him to kill him. He had no way out. He had no escape. He was at the fords of the river Jabbok, we read in the earlier part of chapter 32. And he sent his family and his entourage on across the river. In effect, by doing that, he was saying, "There's no hope for me. It's all over." And as he sits there all alone now, he's got nobody to turn to. Every tactic he has ever employed to get him out of a mess, so to speak, has now failed him. He can't get out of this one. And he's there all by himself at Peniel, which means the meeting place with God. And sometime in the night, as he's restfully and fitfully trying to get some sleep, an angel appears. And he begins to wrestle with this angel. And this angel, in effect, is none other than a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what I pray that you see in this simple story that we're attempting to bring forth this morning is that I entitle this the Divine Conquest. And that for us to have victory, we must first allow God to defeat us. I want that to sink in, what I just said, and I'll attempt to expound upon it. For us to experience the glorious victory in life that God wants to give us, we must first allow him to conquer us. The greatest battle you'll ever face as a believer in Jesus Christ is a battle that you must lose. I want that to sink in. The greatest battle you're ever going to face in your walk with the Lord is a battle that you must lose if you are to be blessed by God as He wants to bless you. Because that's the very battle that Jacob was fighting. It's the battle of breaking the pride and arrogance of self-sufficiency. Thinking that in some way we can overcome a certain circumstance through our own ability and through human effort. Because all of us really believe that. We're hardwired that way. We come into this world believing we don't need God. Many times until we find Jesus Christ, we feel we really don't need God. We feel that we inertly and innately have the ability to overcome anything that will come against us. That's why it's so hard to get somebody to Jesus Christ. Because to get them to Christ, that person must first be convinced that they have no hope of saving themselves. They have no righteousness in and of themselves. And unless they bow at the feet of Jesus Christ and ask Him to do for them what only He can do, they will forevermore be in a lost state. But the beauty and love of our Lord Jesus Christ is such that whosoever will comes to Him and asks Him, Lord, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, will You help me? His answer is always a resounding, yes, I will. Glory to God. But like Jacob, as he wrestled with this angel through the night, I hope you see the picture. It's us wrestling with God in our spirit to see who's going to sit on the throne of our heart. Is it going to be us or is it going to be Jesus Christ? Although Jacob was involved literally in a physical wrestling match with this angel, the spiritual application of it is just that. Who's going to win? Who's going to be number one? Is it going to be us or is it going to be God? And God wants to bless His children bountifully, but He cannot bless them until they realize everything we ever get from Him or are ever going to get from Him comes by His grace. We didn't get it by our intellect. We didn't get it by our ability. It came because of His glorious grace. And it's very difficult to bring a human being because we're so full of pride and arrogance. It's difficult to bring a human being to that spot. Everything has to be knocked out from under us to get us to look up to God, just like the young lady I related to in the opening story. She had to have everything in her life destroyed because she was convinced, I can overcome anything. I can beat anything. I don't need God. But God loved her enough to bring her to the place where everything in her life was turned upside down and everything she held near and dear was gone. And she cried out to Him and He in effect told her, now I can bless you. Now I can bestow upon you all of my riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's a glorious thing. But we wrestle with God as human beings on this issue. And Jacob, having lost all hope now, is wrestling with his angel. And the dawn begins to break. This fight went on all through the night. Because it's not easy to get pride and arrogance out of us as humans. It's really not an easy work even for God to do. Because we're so convinced of our own self-sufficiency. We're just like Jacob. But as the dawn begins to break, the man that Jacob is wrestling with, this pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and you say, why would Christ wrestle with a man? Let me tell you, don't get the wrong idea here. Jesus could have ended this battle at any time He wanted to. He's God. But He loved Jacob. And He had a big call on Jacob's life. And He had to bring Jacob to a point where Jacob realized, all that God's going to do for me and all that He's going to give me is going to come because of His grace, not because of my scheming and deceiving intellectual ability. You see, that's what Jacob had been trusted in. It's a perfect picture of how God cannot bless us until we're fully trusting in what Christ did for us at the cross. If there's a shred of trust in anything else but the grace and mercy of God that is poured out through Christ's atoning work on the cross, God cannot bless us the way He wants to bless us. But He'll allow us to wrestle with Him for a while, to exhaust all of our human strength and all of our human ability. And He'll send a situation that will totally knock out from under us what we've been trusting in if it's not the cross of Christ. He loves us that much. You say, that sounds mean. No, it's a divine conquest. God's got to conquer us. For us to have victory, we must first, as human beings, go down to defeat. And as the dawn is breaking, all of Jacob's strength is exhausted. But he says to this man, and I believe Jacob has the revelation of who he is. He says, Jesus said to him, the dawn's breaking, let me go. But Jacob knew that he had a hold of the only hope that he was ever going to have. And that's what the Lord wanted him to realize. That's why the wrestling match had gone on through the night. And Jacob could no longer physically wrestle against this, but he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to hold on to you until you bless me. Oh, my Lord, there's preaching there. There's preaching there. Are you having a wrestling match in your spirit with some issue right now? Do you feel like everything you've been trusting in and everything you hold near and dear has been knocked out from under you? Are you in a situation that you realize, I can't do nothing about it? Well, take heart. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. Because He will bless you if you'll hold on to Him. In response to Jacob's request, I won't let you go until you bless me. He does a very strange thing. This pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Jesus does a very strange thing. First he touches Jacob on the hollow of his thigh. This big femur bone right here. I believe it's the biggest, strongest bone in the body. It's this part right here beneath your quadricep and your leg. It's the biggest, strongest bone in the body. The Lord touches that bone and breaks it. Knocks it totally out of joint. And then he asked Jacob, what is your name? Now that seems initially like a very cruel thing to do, doesn't it? That here you are, everything's falling apart, and you cry out to God, and He inflicts more pain, in essence, upon you. It doesn't seem like an act of grace initially. But Jacob cries out in pain, no doubt, as his leg comes out of joint, but he still holds on. And then a strange question comes. Jacob, what is your name? Now, the Lord knew his name, but now watch this. What He was trying to elicit from Jacob was a response of one that let the Lord know all of Jacob's faith and dependence on anything but God was now gone. And he wanted to know, and he wanted to elicit repentance from Jacob, that, Lord, everything I've trusted in ain't going to help me now unless you do it. So he asks him, what is your name? And he says, I can see it in the agony of his leg being knocked out of joint. And he's laying there holding on for dear life in agony. And he says, my name is Jacob. In other words, I'm a schemer. I'm a deceiver, Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he said, my name is Jacob, he was in effect telling him, Lord, I got nothing. I've got nothing. I'm just a schemer. And I'm just a deceiver in everything I've ever got. I've got by my own ability, by trusting in me, Lord. But now I'm going to hold on to you no matter what. And watch how the grace of God flows like a river. The angel looks at him, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and says, your name is no longer Jacob. Wow. No wonder the book of Romans says God calls things that be not as though they were. Though we are unrighteous and unholy of our own volition, with our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He calls us righteous. Though we have no adoption rights to Almighty God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and faith in it, we are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. And by Jacob's response, the Lord knew he's repented of trusting in his own ability. I've conquered him. Now I can bless him. I've defeated Jacob. Now I can bless him. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do as believers is just submit to God. In our darkest hour, when our world is crumbling, when it seems like there's no answer and no way out, and we've been wrestling with the problem all night long, maybe for weeks, months, years, trying to figure out, how can I overcome this? That's really the wrong question. The question should be, how is God going to overcome this for me? Because I'm looking to Him. I'm looking to something far greater than my own ability, my own intellect, and my own processes to get this thing solved. I can do nothing. I'm going to hold on and believe in Him. And when we do that, He gives us the grace to go through and the grace to conquer. He gives us His victory. Glory to God. That's what He did to Jacob. What is your name? My name's Jacob the Schemer. He said, no, it isn't. Not anymore. It used to be. Oh, this makes me want to shout, church. When God cleanses our sin, when it's washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that sin is gone. I don't care who tries to bring it up against you. Man might do it, but as far as God is concerned, it's gone forever. The young lady I related to, the story I related about her in the beginning of this message, if you were to ask God about her prison time right now, He would say, what on earth are you talking about? Now man will hold that against her. Man will definitely hold that. It's man's system. But praise God, I would rather operate in God's system of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. What is your name? My name's Jacob. No, it isn't. Because now you've put your faith and trust in me, Jacob. And now I'm giving you a new name and a new spirit. From this point on, your name is going to be Israel, which means prince and one who has power with God. Wow. In seconds time, that's how quick it takes place. When God makes the divine conquest, and we go down to defeat, but praise God, He doesn't leave us in that defeat. He gives us His victory. The victory that only He can win. He graciously gives it to us when we admit, Lord, I can't do nothing. Now I know that is so backward of human thinking. Because the way we would have it done, we would glorify ourselves. We would give ourselves some great victory that we could take all the credit for and give none to God. But God won't operate that way. He has to get that pride and arrogance out of us. And it's a painful process. It's a painful process. And Jacob had been known as a strong man physically as well as intellectually. He was brilliant. He really was. But God had a tremendous call on his life. And God had to conquer Jacob's confidence in the giftings that God had given him before God could bless him the way he wanted to. Finally, with his leg out of joint, Jesus says, your name will no longer be Jacob, it's Israel. And that blessing would last and carries on to this day. The blessing He put on Jacob. But here's what I want you to see. Jacob being recognized as a physical specimen, one being strong in spirit and in mind. The rest of his life now, God did not heal his leg being knocked out of joint. The rest of Jacob's life, he would walk with a limp. He would no longer go out and fight as a mighty strong warrior. When the battles came now for Jacob, that limp would forever be a reminder, and that pain in his leg would forever be a reminder. My victory's in him. My victory's in him. And you know what? After this point in time, you never read any more about Jacob ever scheming or deceiving again. He placed his faith in God. He kept his faith there. The book of Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us the weapons, I'm quoting the wrong scripture. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, did you notice that? He said, put on the armor of God, for we wrestle not. There's the scripture I'm looking for. 6 and 12, I'll get it right yet. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we try to wrestle against those things through our intellect, through our human flesh, we're going to go down to defeat every time. Maybe you've had a penile experience in your life. I know I have. And it's forevermore changed me. But it was an act of God's grace. At the time I was going through it, it seemed like the most painful, excruciating event I'd ever gone through. And it really was. And you keep crying out to God, God, deliver me from this. God, deliver me from this. And you're trusting Him and believing Him. And the heavens are as brass. God's not saying, God didn't deliver me from it. In essence, He broke my leg. But in this area of my life where He broke my leg, I know now I'm stronger than I've ever been before, because He conquered my pride and arrogance in that area of my life. And now I know I've got to look to Him. I'll walk with that limp the rest of my life now, but it will cause me every time I feel the pain of that limp. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. And that's what He wanted to do. That's what He wants to accomplish. And that tells me there's greater blessing coming, because I'm trusting in Him now. And when it comes, you're looking at one guy who'll know. It didn't come by my brilliance. It didn't come by my intellect. It came by His grace. I'm telling you this morning, it might be the dark hour of your wrestling match with God, but hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. He may break your leg. There may be a little bit more pain to come, but He's not going to kill you. And when He's done with you and you realize what Jacob realized, Lord, I can't handle this without You, He's going to turn to you just like He did Jacob and say, now I can bless you the way I want to bless you. Praise God, praise God. This is how His grace works. Because until we realize our need for that grace, He can't give it to us. Austin, you did a great job on playing that song this morning. Singers did a great job singing it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. But I have never seen an instance that somebody could shout over the song Amazing Grace until they first had the agonizing grief. Hallelujah. And you thought you were going to die. You thought you were never going to make it. But He never left you. You were in a wrestling match with God. You might be in a wrestling match with God this morning. And He's going to win. He loves you enough. You're not going to beat Him. And He's going to do whatever it takes to get you to the point to where you realize, like Jacob did, my name's Jacob. I got nothing, God. If You don't do it for me, it won't get done. And to human pride, that seems and feels like such a defeat. It does. But then God says, now that you've admitted your defeat, I'll give you my victory and I'll bless you. My Lord, somebody give me my hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In closing now, the greatest struggle you're ever going to face as a believer is not going to be against demon spirits. It's not going to be against the powers and potentates of this life. The greatest battle you're ever going to face as a believer is the same one that Jacob fought. That's where you have to let yourself be defeated by God so that He can give you His victory. Because we're all so prideful and arrogant. That's the greatest battle you'll ever face as a believer. And it's a battle that you must lose. It's a battle that must be lost before we can experience the fullness of God's blessing. And Jacob would walk with a limp. God never healed him of that limp. It says this story relates. It says he got up the next morning leaning on his staff. And at the close of Jacob's life, I'm going to fast forward so I can get this thing to a close and landed maybe half as good as Austin landed the plane the other day. I'm looking for a spot to come in now, Austin, okay? After this event, Jacob knew he was blessed. He would forevermore walk with that lamp. And he got up the next morning leaning on that staff that he would walk with the rest of his life, with that limp hurting him at times. But when that pain come and that limp, Jacob would look up and say, my faith and trust is in Him. He is my victor. He is my victory. Jacob's about to die now near the end of his life. The Bible records it beautifully. It says, and Jacob, leaning on his staff, blessed his sons and daughters. Now, on those staffs that the patriarchs of Israel would walk with in that day and age, what they would do is they would take, whenever God did something significant or blessed them in a special way, they would take and they would make a carving on that staff. And since this night that God made the divine conquest over Jacob, you never read about him being deceitful. You never read about him conniving again. He trusted in God and God blessed him bountifully. At the end of his life, we find him leaning on that staff, blessing his children. God never healed him of that limp. But as Jacob blessed those kids, as he's leaning on that staff, he's no doubt looked down and saw the multitude of instances where God came through for him by faith, by faith. Knowing that the victories that were imprinted on that staff came solely by faith in God and not his own effort. And he blessed his children. What are we seeing there in the modern vernacular? We're seeing us leaning on the cross of Christ with every victory that he's given. Though we walk with a limp in our spirit now, we're reminded it's because of what he did for me on the cross. Hallelujah. My Lord, that makes my soul do flip-flops. It's all because of Him. I'm blessed. I could never have achieved it on my own. But I'm leaning on the cross. Hallelujah. I'm leaning on the piece of wood that my victory is predicated upon. And I'll leave this world blessing others and telling them, come to the cross. Because when I look at that old wooden rugged cross, every victory, every blessing I've ever had is because of that cross. You might be involved in a divine conquest. Is God trying to conquer you this morning? Is your flesh screaming out in pain and you think you're going to die and it looks like there's no way out? And you've wrestled with God over the situation and there's been no answer. And maybe even things got worse. Submit. Submit. Don't wrestle anymore. Just hold on. And He'll bless you. Your answer will come. If you'll hold on to Him, your answer will come. And when it comes, you'll know, man, I could have never worked this thing out. I look back to it now this past week, and I say this to God's glory as I close. I'm not trying to aggrandize me. But I've never been so scared in my life as I was about 3 years ago at this time. I have always had a good job and always been able to take care of my family. And God knocked everything out from under me. I mean everything. to where you didn't know where the next dollar was coming from. I had never in my life been in a situation like that. And I thought I was going to die. But he came through every single time. And we still stand in awe of it. And if you know how the governmental system works, you will too. But within 30 days' time of the time I applied for a job over in Columbus, I got an interview, and 30 days later went to work. And this past month, and I shared with you, I didn't know what I was doing. The job description for this job, I personally would have never applied for it if I'd known what it was, really. But the Lord took me through and taught it to me. And my boss called me in for my annual appraisal just right before the holiday. He said, "Greg, you're the best one I've got." He said, "You do this better than people that have been here 20, 30 years now." That's God. That ain't me. I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. I'll be honest with you. I'd always been a hands-on person on working with you know, quality issues. And when they said quality assurance, well, it's just, I'm just fat, dumb, and happy. Oh, yeah, I can do that. I'll apply for that one. That sounds right. I didn't know it was contract quality assurance. Or you're studying all these technical parameters and going deep on all that stuff. And I didn't know, but God, when I thought everything was going to get knocked out from under me, He broke my leg. But I tell you what, every time I hear somebody grumbling or complaining over there, I do my best to pull them aside and say, "Hey, we all have days, even I do over there, where you feel like, but you know, there's people with PhDs right now that don't even have a prayer of getting the kind of job I got. Some of you out there are like that too. There are people with PhDs that would give everything to have the job you've got right now. He'll be there for you. He will not fail you. He may break your leg, but he'll bless you. He's got to conquer us first. Are you in that wrestling match this morning? Know this. Hold on to him. Just hold on. Your blessing will come if you'll just hold on to him. Maybe you're too weak to fight anymore. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, having done all, stand. It tells us to put on the whole armor of God. How do you do that? Put on the whole armor of God. You put your faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. There is your armor. Paul was merely using a metaphor. He wasn't meaning like some idiots thought years back that you got up and you spiritually put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then you got up and you put on the helmet of salvation. No, Jesus is our defense. Jesus is our armor. Hallelujah! Give him a hand of praise. And if your faith is in him, you got on the armor of God, and whatever the devil throws at you, you'll have victory. But God can't bless us with the ability to put on that armor until we know victory ain't mine anyway, the victory's his. He may break you, but he'll bless you because he loves you. You're his child. He loved Jacob. But he had to bring Jacob to the point where Jacob would continually, not just a one-time event, on one circumstance, but in every area of his life, Jacob would forevermore know every blessing, every miracle. It's because of his grace. Because I don't have the ability to achieve it. Your blessing's coming through. As I close this altar call, that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me to tell you. Your blessing's coming through. Hold on. Hold on. Your blessing's coming through. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." What the Bible is meaning, what Jesus meant when he uttered those words, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That doesn't mean deny your existence as a legitimate self. It means a denial of your ability to get anything done outside of him. That's what denial of self is. Take up the cross then. In other words, start leaning and looking. to what I've done for you on the cross. And then you can effectively follow me and I'll bless you. That divine conquest of denial of self, we never get there easy. None of us. None of us do. But it could very well be that the situation you're in this morning, where the Lord had me preach this, is you're in a wrestling match with God. Spiritually speaking, you're wrestling with God. And He's got to defeat us first before He can bless us. So I feel a strong urgency from the Holy Spirit. If I know, I sense it, that it's been clearly identified for some of you what's going on. And you say, now, Pastor, okay, it's been identified. I've been prideful. I've been arrogant. I've been trying to figure it out on my own. What do I do now? Hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. I wish I could stand here and tell you, oh, He's going to make it easier for you. Initially, He may not. He may break your leg. He may allow this situation to affect you so that you'll never, ever forget it as long as you live. But if He breaks your leg, He's going to bless you greater than you've ever been blessed before. And that the greatest blessing God can ever give us is Himself. And the greatest blessing I personally believe He'll ever give us is that we can live and walk in this world with the knowledge and a complete trust in Him. That's what He gave Jacob. That was the greatest asset Jacob got out of this. Jacob was blessed after this with wealth, with material goods, like few men on the planet have ever been blessed with. But he had that limp still that reminded him every day, all I've got, it's because of Him. It's because of Him. Not because of my ability to scheme it down. It's because of Him. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. But amazing grief has to come first as God conquers us, conquers our pride, conquers our arrogance, and convinces us, you can't make it without me. God wants us totally dependent upon Him. And He will not quit in our lives until we reach that point. Although He blesses us with great talent, Jacob, at the time this happened, was one of the wealthiest men on the planet. But he had to be broken so God could bless him even more. Hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. Your blessing's coming. Your blessing's coming. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, open our spiritual eyes, Lord, all of us. Open them to see, Lord, the places that we don't like to look at. The pride, the arrogance, the self-sufficiency that you want to get out of our lives. And Lord, what you take out, you'll replace it with something so much better. You'll replace those things with your blessing, with your grace, and with your assurance. Father, in the name of Jesus, the first step, as it was with Jacob, is repentance. Is admitting, without any equivocation whatsoever, we can't do it, God. I can't win this battle. I can no longer even fight this battle. But I hold on to you. Will you help me? He will help you. He will help you and bless you. Because He'll know He's conquered you. You must go down to defeat so that you can have His victory, and He'll give it to you. But the first step is repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to overcome drugs through my own ability. I'm sorry for trying to change this area of my life that I see that is so dark and ugly, even though I love you. I'm sorry for trying to change it through self-sufficiency and self-help. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, give me your victory. I admit I can do nothing. And if that's you this morning, right where you stand, I don't need a show of hands, do that. Go the way of Jacob. It's going to feel very uncomfortable for you, as it does for all of us. But it's the path to victory. It's the path to obtaining God's victory. Right where you stand, submit. Submit to Him this morning. Submit and repent is what I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to instruct us all in. Submit to Him and repent. And after that, tell Him, Lord, I'm going to hold on until You bless me. Oh, God will honor that faith. He'll honor that faith. He'll honor that faith. I submit to You, Lord, and I repent of my self-sufficiency, of me trying to solve the problem in my own way. But I'm going to hold on to You now. And His blessing is going to come. His blessing is going to come. Boy, I feel a deep move of the Holy Ghost going on right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're all so pitiful, prideful, and arrogant. But Lord, today we come before Your throne and to Jesus Christ like Jacob did. We're tired of the wrestling match, Lord. We submit. And we repent, Lord. We admit we can't do anything. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us because we're going to hold on to the cross of Christ, which cannot fail us, which will give us victory. You see, Jacob won the victory that night, and that victory was played out over the rest of his life. Greater blessing came, and not that Jacob never had another problem. He got in some very, very difficult situations. But how he got out of those situations was very different than the technique he'd used before, this night of wrestling with God. He changed his technique every single time he put his faith in God. And he had that limp to remind him, God is my victory. Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross is your victory. Praise His holy name this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, are you ready to submit to God this morning? You'll never have victory, hear me, sinner, until you submit to Him fully. Then He'll give you His victory. Are you ready to submit and repent and throw yourself at the feet of the world's Redeemer? Because I'm going to tell you, He loves you. He loves you. And just like the young lady in the story I related at the start of this message, you may think you're getting by right now. She thought she was for a number of years. And all it was God's grace and mercy with Him giving her chance after chance after chance to go another way and not make it so hard on herself. But God loves you enough to let your world crumble if it takes that to get you to Him and to realize your need for Him. Is there anybody here this morning who would say by uplifted hand, I'm ready. I'm not right with God, and I'm ready to submit to Him this morning. I'm ready to give Him my whole life without reservation. Are there any at all? Are there any at all? Then right where you stand this morning, I pray that the Lord's helped me to preach this clearly and this beautiful truth of this great story from His Word. The divine conquest. We must be defeated so we can have His victory. I pray you'll walk out of here in that victory today with your faith exclusively anchored in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. And if you have been trusting in something else, I pray that today the Lord showed you that and you've repented of it and you've told Him, Lord, I'm going to hold on to You and look exclusively to You for my victory. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its truths. Lord, we thank You for the instruction that is found within its pages. Lord, help us all to go the way of Jacob, to admit our pride and arrogance, and to hold on to You, and to trust You not only in some situations, but in every area of our life. Lord, I thank You for this church. I thank You for these people. I ask You to bless them in the name of Jesus throughout this time we celebrate Your birth. Bless them greater than they've ever been blessed before in every area of their lives, I ask in Jesus' name. And when those blessings come, may we know they were by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I would remind you, Austin, would you come and get these papers down here on the front row before I dismiss you? Some of you, I know, came in a little bit late. Please fill out these forms for the church Christmas banquet we're having on the 19th of December. There's just take them back there and lay them on the stand, if you would, Austin. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Thanks, buddy. They're going to be laying back there on the stand in the foyer. Please, it's got all the details. There's no charge for this banquet. We do need a firm count by next week on how many are planning on attending. Please come out and be with us. We'd be honored to have you. It'll be a great time of fellowship. It's going to be a complete dinner. We're going to have snacks, hors d'oeuvres, singing, a $5 gift exchange. All the details are on the sheet back there. Ravonna, why did I forget? Yes. All right, I think that's everything. God bless you. You're dismissed.